Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Long, short, curly, straight. For immigrant women from the Caribbean and Africa, hair is often an important part of establishing who they are and how they fit into America.
Most of the things that you see, the movies and the Disney, see all these Rapunzel, lay down your hair, and all these princesses, they all have nice hair.
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this podcast, we take you to hair salons and the homes of immigrant black women from Africa and the Caribbean to talk about hair. It's a subject that's both intimate and very public. With me in the studio are two graduate students at the New School who've been looking into this subject, Miranda Schaefer and Sally Namani. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. It's good to be here.
Hi, John. It's good to be here as well.
Sally, you immigrated to the U.S. from Nigeria, and as I understand it, your hair was an issue from the moment your parents told you that you were coming to the U.S.
Yes. I was 12 years old when we immigrated to the United States. When my parents finalized our visas and our tickets, my mom's first thing really was we had to prepare, I guess, physically, and that process included me and my sisters getting our hair done. So she took us to the hairstylist and we had a relaxer. And then afterwards we had synthetic hair attached to our hair. And the style was called Bob Marley back then. I'm not sure what it's called now. But in the United States, that style is known as box braids.
So was this the first time that you had had your hair done that way?
Actually, no. We used to get our hair done all the time during Christmas and our Holy Communion and sometimes on our birthdays. But in school, we weren't allowed to have synthetic hair because I went to like a Christian Puritan school. So.
And why do you think it was so important for your mom to have you and your sisters have your hair right for the immigration experience?
Well, I mean, from what we knew, like America was like the, you know, I guess this perfect place where everyone always looked nice, and looking nice meant having your hair done. So my mom didn't want us to really look like, to stand out. So I guess that was part of it.
Miranda, you and Sally have spoken to a number of black immigrant women about hair. Why is it so important?
Well, having good hair means that you have money to spend. And a weave can cost about $1,000.
A weave?
A weave. Some of the women he spoke to equated having long, straight hair with confidence. And for many immigrants, hair is also about assimilation.
Now, you talked about a weave, and there are other terms that I'm personally not familiar with. So before we meet the women who you spoke to, let's get some of the terminology straight. What are some of the key terms?
Well, relaxing, which is sometimes called a perm, really means using a chemical to like straighten your curl, because I guess black ethnic hair is more like tightly coiled, and if you want it straighter, you have to use a chemical called a relaxer, and that process is called relaxing. Other people straighten their hair, which is basically using heat to straighten your strands.
So they iron it, basically.
Yeah, and with that, it's not permanent, because once you put water in your hair, it curls right back up.
What about weaves? What's a weave?
A weave is fake hair. That's literally what it translates to.
And it's woven into your natural
hair.
Yeah.
The way it works is basically, in some occasions, people, women will just have their hair braided in cornrows and then just have, they use a thread and a needle and just attach the hair. And in other cases, which is seen more with Caucasian women, they're just, they have like strands of hair and it's called extensions, and they just like clip it onto their hair.
So now that we've got some of the terminology straight, let's meet some of the women you interviewed.
Yeah, so we spoke to Adeyinka Adiatu. She is Nigerian and Trinidadian, and she actually does my hair on some occasions.
So she's your stylist?
Yeah, for now. She has natural hair, but she always has some fake hair on her head. You would never even know how long her hair was because she always has a wig or a weave on her hair. She told us when she came to America, she was surprised how often African-American women relax their hair which is, and for some people, it's like once a month, once every 4 weeks. And that's really rare in Trinidad and England, where she grew up as well, where women really relax their hair maybe once every 6 months or once a year.
When I was here, everybody else had straight hair, and girls wear a lot of weaves and stuff and try to look like these basketball wives. Everybody just starts looking washed out. Everybody starts looking the same.
Basketball wives?
Basketball wives is really, it's a reality TV show on VH1, which really just showcases like the girlfriends of mediocre athletes. They're not superstar athletes' girlfriends, but there is obviously a norm or a look that these women have, which is like fair-skinned, really long weaves, and like big butts and like big breasts.
So is this focus on hair something that African and Caribbean women generally bring with them from the countries that they immigrate from, or is it something that happens here in the U.S.?
We interviewed Joy Okonkwo, who owns a salon in the Bronx and has been in the U.S. for over 20 years. She said that when she was growing up in the 80s, Nigeria was a culture that valued education more than beauty.
We still, you know, look at the local beauty queens and admire them, but it wasn't like it's not like it's a criteria where you're going to be like, oh, I want to be like her. Who you want to be like are those that are like teachers, nurses, doctors, accountants, these and that, you know? That's who you aspire to be, not models.
When Joy came to the U.S., she wanted to be an accountant, but realized that her degree was not accepted here, and she'd have to return to college. So instead, she got a degree in cosmetology. She's an example of a woman whose attitudes towards hair changed when she came to America.
People attach so much importance to hair. And I agree, totally agree with them, because when your hair is all looking messy, your face don't look right. When the hair is freshly done, people look more beautiful. And I can see they have more confidence.
We often hear the story about struggles between immigrant parents and their American-born children who feel more comfortable with American culture. Is this true when it comes to hair?
We spoke to Natasha Gaspard. She was born in America, but her mother's from Haiti. And she said one reason why her mother did not want her to transition to natural hair was because she didn't want Natasha to look like she just came here.
I wouldn't be able to get a job. I wouldn't be able to get a husband. I would probably be ostracized and looked at like I just came to this country. You know, because I think that when you come to America, you adopt the way of the people, you know, you see how people are and you try to fit in. You don't want to stick out.
Natasha told us that she learned a lot about hair from her Haitian-born mother. She said that personal appearance was always very important to her mother.
One thing that I noticed by just listening to my mom speak about different things and just being around Haitian people in general is that the outward appearance is very important. You always have to put your best face forward. My mom says your face is your passport.
In addition to the conversations that go on between mothers and daughters and probably sisters and aunts and so forth, are there places in the media where African and Caribbean women talk about hair issues? And if so, what are they talking about?
Yes, definitely. Outlets like YouTube and Facebook are like one of the primary mediums where women are actually like going on to share information on hair care. For example, there's this 19-year-old girl in Colorado who has a channel where she, you know, talks about where she has several tutorials on like wigs and weaves and how to like do your own weave and how to braid your own hair and stuff like that.
We also spoke to Karen Tappan. She's a Guyanese American who began marketing her all natural hair care line on her blog and selling out of her Fort Greene store. Her products, they're called Karen's Body Beautiful. They became so popular that they're going to be sold in Target later this year.
Wow, that's a big move. So how is the experience of immigrant women related to African-American women who also place a great deal of importance on how they do their hair and how they appear?
Both immigrant and African-American women face pressure to conform to a strict standard of beauty. However, according to the women we were interviewed, Americans or African-Americans tend to relax their hair earlier and more often than their immigrant counterparts. Here's Adeyinka talking about Trinidadians' attitude towards their hair.
We do not perm our children's hair for a long time. Like here, they be perming children's hair like 4, 5, 6 years old. Like in Trinidad, if somebody sees your child's hair permed at that age, people will look at you in some type of way, like if you're partially crazy, because it's a chemical. You don't put chemicals in children's hair.
We've been talking about the significance that Black women attach to their hair and the warnings that some mothers have given to their daughters about you won't succeed if you don't have your hair in a certain way and you don't pay attention to it. But are there actually examples of women not getting jobs or a promotion or advancing in school because of their hair?
Well, one example is Rhonda Lee. She was a meteorologist at a TV station in Louisiana. She wore her hair naturally on television, and somebody posted a nasty comment about that on the station's Facebook page. And when she responded, she was fired. It's an ongoing issue for African-American women and immigrant women from the Caribbean and Africa. Lauryn Hill, the well-known rapper, she even wrote a song about it.
Sally, you've been in the U.S. for 13 years now, and obviously you're older than you were when you were a kid and came here first from Nigeria, but has your attitude about hair changed over that time? And does the way you do your hair influence the way you think of yourself, of your identity?
I don't think it influences my identity, but it does influence some decisions that I make. Like, for example, if I'm going to a job interview, I'd rather wear my natural hair than wear a fake hair. I don't know. It's just something that I do. In terms of how my hair has changed, the way I wear my hair has changed since I came here. I was an athlete for many years, so I really just went with the box braids, and that helped me keep my hair away.
Are there any types of hairstyles that you absolutely will avoid?
I really hate weaves, but, well, there are obviously outlandish hairstyles, like purple hair, like green weaves, or like stuff like that. Yes, I would avoid those, definitely.
So I'm really a basketball wife type of girl.
No.
Well, Sally and Miranda, I want to thank you for bringing this really interesting story to the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Sally Namani and Miranda Schaefer did the reporting for this story as part of the Feet in Two Worlds journalism course at the New School. The producers of this podcast are Kai Ma, Jocelyn Gonzalez, and Aaron Leaf. Our engineer is Tarek Fuda. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the support tab in the upper right-hand corner. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.